Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Hello there, everybody out there. I'm Jose, and today we're not at Josie's Cafe. No, we're in a bunker deep in the ground trying to escape the nuclear fallout. Because today we're talking about an infamous Twilight Zone episode called The Shelter. This is an instant classic. Both Bob and I feel that it's time. It's time to speak about this infamous episode called The Shelter. It's a episode that is surprisingly relevant today. That's what we call a timeless masterpiece. But anyways, you can check it out on Netflix if you haven't already. It will be on Season 3. It's the third episode, and it's also streaming on iTunes, Amazon Video for a couple bucks. So let me just stop, okay? Go watch it, come back, enjoy. All right, so I watched this episode a couple nights ago.
Okay.
And love Twilight Zone to begin with. I mean, it's classic. It's one of those timeless shows that are out there.
Like, we talked about the episodes of the Twilight Zone a lot, actually, between you and I.
Yeah.
Because there's, of course, I have to admit, though, I'm kind of watching through them on the Netflix, and there are some episodes that are better than the others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, say, like, Eye of the Beholder or The Howling Man, where it just blows your mind. It's like, oh, my God, humanity.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was one episode with the Burgess Meredith where aliens give them super strings, and it was just a shit episode. It was a fucking terrible episode. But lately, Evan, like I said, I told you to watch this one because the fact that right now we're kind of into this whole, like, North Korea Trump, you know, curb bubble. I told you the fact that now these episodes have way more relevancy. Way more weight into them about, because a lot of these episodes are before the bomb dropped.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of the episode I told you to watch. It's like, I said it was like Season 3, Episode 2, right?
I already introduced it. So
okay, so, all right. I guess let's set it up. If you haven't seen the episode, spoilers, but honestly, that's... It's 60s, you know, it's almost like a...
Like, what are you doing listening to this?
Yeah, but basically it's like a doctor, and he's having a birthday it's his birthday and his friends are throwing him kind of a party.
It's nice, cordial.
You know, just like him and a couple friends.
Everything's normal.
Wine, and they're making fun of him, they're breaking balls a little bit because he decided to build a bomb shelter in his backyard.
They're making fun of him.
And they're making it like, oh, you and your cement trucks and your late night hammering... Oh, but we still love you. You're still a good doctor. But you're
kook. Crazy kook, yeah.
And of course, there any part of then his son comes in and was like, "Whoa, Dad, there was a thing on the radio saying that they saw unidentified flying objects in the sky, like, and they're telling people to get ready." So it's like, oh, and, you know, this is during the 60s, so this is during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Or, like, I don't know, this is before or during the...
Cold War era.
Yeah, Cold War era, honestly, of us being nuked by the Russians. So he tells, well, everybody, you know, leaves, start going home. So he starts telling his wife to start filling up the jars for the water, which I thought that was, oh, man, that's... I never even thought about that. If, you know, something similar happened, I was like, just fill the jars with water. Let's get everything down ready to go into the shelter. And of course, he starts getting ready. They start filling up water, and eventually, the water stops flowing because I guess maybe the plant shut down. They shut down the pipes, whatever. Maybe everyone else is using water.
Everyone's freaking out.
Yeah, everyone's freaking out. So they get all the water, all the supplies. They start going to the shelter. And one of the neighbors comes over and is like, oh, hey, you got that shelter. Why don't you let me and my family in? And the guy goes, well, no, we can't. It's only designed for 3 people. Like, the filter is only made for oxygen for 3 people. Not to mention, there's only enough water for 3 people. So
yeah.
I'm sorry. You could just stay in my basement, but you need to prepare, though. We're going to go into the shelter. Like, no, we just... And of course, he locks himself up. And of course, in the meantime, another neighbor comes up because he's kind of trying to do the same thing. Of course, the other guy beat him to it. He was like, "You could try to talk to him, but he locked himself in. He's not gonna open up." And then another neighbor comes in. And they start arguing with themselves.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out how to get in there. Well, I mean, there's kind of like a little conflict. They're saying, you know, this is wrong. We should all. They're trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
There's plans to go to somebody else's attic, but it all leads to let's just go in there, break down the door.
Yeah, that's basically what it. First, he started attacking each other. Oh, you semi-Americans! I deserve to live here too. Then they started I want my, just please, like, just one of my children. What, you think your children are better than my children?
Well, I kind of feel that the reason they kind of, yes, it's about bomb shelters and preparedness, but I think it also kind of tells us a bit of civilization and who we are and what, like, the one of the guys says, we're nothing but animals at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's exactly how it broke down. Once, once the niceties of civilization have run out, people are going to go to their baser instincts.
Yeah.
You know, of course, like, they're going to, like, turn, like, honestly, Jose, if you and I were stuck in this room and there's one bottle of water left and there's no way to get out, we're going to probably end up killing each other for that one bottle of water.
Well, considering, you know, where I'm at in life, I'm probably going to be like, take the water, man.
Okay. Like, of course...
Seriously. Because I know if there's a zombie apocalypse, I already told my wife, just go. I have no business here. I don't... My survival instincts are there, yes, but let's be real. I'm going to slow everybody down.
No, honestly, Jose, I want to keep you around. Because, you know, I like you. Not to mention, if I need to trip somebody, you're the first one.
I'm that guy at the end of the movie where, like, with the gun, like, just load it up, just go, and they're just shooting.
Oh, I'll slow him down.
Slow
down.
Yeah.
And then you run out of bullets, and you're like, ah! Because you forgot to leave one to yourself, and then they eat you, and that's how they find you.
I really feel like that would be me, like, realistically.
Yeah, that's honestly...
And this is, I'm a different person.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was, like, 100%, yeah, fuck you, Bob.
Yeah, it's my water! Yeah, you know, you'd have that right to fight me. I mean, unless we decide, all right, you have half the water, and I'll have half the water. And then
and we'll die together.
We'll pee in each other's mouths. But
we
can only drink. We actually, when me and Nate were building the sound room, we were having, that doorknob had been on that door since the house was built during the 60s.
Oh, gosh.
So it was really loose.
Twilight Zone times.
Exactly. And like I said, there's a window in here, but we've sealed off this window. We put, like, you know, granted, if we really needed to get to it, we could get to it.
Yeah.
But we're thinking that it'd be kind of, like, funny, the fact that we've sealed this room in foam, and then the doorknob broke off, and we couldn't get out. Twilight Zone episode. Of then us just trying to get out.
And you're podcasting yourself out, like, you're just like, listen to my pleas.
We're posting it on YouTube. Please, come to our house. And then people...
No one's listening.
No one, actually, everybody's listening. They think it's great. They just don't take us seriously.
Like, World of the Worlds kind of thing, but backwards.
We're like, oh, this is great, this is funny, and please help us, we're dying. And, oh, man, and it's our best shows, you know.
And then you die.
Then we die. Then we record ourselves dying. But, of course, that's why we changed out the handle, because I know, because, like I said, that's why we changed it, because we were, granted, we joked about it, but then I was like, no, we should probably change it out, because we're trapped in here.
But going back to the episode.
Yeah, of the baser, so yeah, they start fighting each other, and then they decided, well, like, you know what? We're going to break in there. So they decided...
Hold on, real quick. I just thought it was funny how they're just like, oh, we'll just go get the thing, and we'll just tell them... We won't tell them why.
Yeah, we're going to get this giant piece of pipe. I like the fact that when they're leaving, they're fucking that dude's house up.
Oh,
they're
flipping
up the tables.
Yeah.
And then, of course, granted, my favorite is... They get the pipe, right? They get a giant piece of steel pipe. They go down there, and they break that guy's door down.
Well, while it's going down, dude, like, it's just like... Well, what I feel is, don't you realize when you're going to do this, you're going to break the door down, everyone's going to die.
Well, no, they're not thinking about that. They're just right. thinking of trying to get in there. They're trying to break the door down. They're going to tear that guy's family out. They're probably going to kill his family because, honestly, that guy's, you know, that guy's not going to just let you pull his family out. He's probably going to fight, and you're going to have to end up killing him. And you're going to let, basically, you're going to let them die. Of course, the fact is, nobody had thought of that, that everyone is going to fight until they're the last ones.
Yeah.
They never thought about that.
Yeah, because so honestly, there's three.
Because we're dealing with a group of, we can only save three people.
Mortal Kombat.
And then you were trying, and these, and I want to say what, it's like, there's like three other families, and they all Literal have like, kids. They have children, so we're talking about like 15 people.
Yeah.
The man, the wife, and the 3.5 children.
Yeah.
And of course, at the end of this episode, they just open the door up. And they're about to pull them out, and then, of course, the radio comes on. Oh, it turns out the unidentified flying objects, they're satellites, or weather satellites. Oh, thank goodness. I thought I was going to have to kill you, but everything's cool now.
You know, I was off my rocker.
I was really off. But, you know, we'll pay for the damages.
Yeah, we'll,
you know what?
We'll chip in. We'll have a barbecue.
We'll have a block party. That's block what party, they said, a block right. party. And, of course, I'm thinking, fuck you. Not only did you ruin my door, and you're definitely going to pay for my door and all the stuff you ruined upstairs, but I got to get a way better door, because that's what I was thinking.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The fact that you won't... This is a perfect time to test your bomb shelter, the fact that they fucked it up. They tore down your door very easily, mind you. So you're going to have to get a thicker door, not to mention, like, I guess you're going to have to put another door so they don't get into that layer... the inner sanctum. That's what I was... Of course, granted, I'm thinking, like, you have to sit there with a shotgun trying to mow down your friends, which that would have been also a terrible ending of you killing all your neighbors because they were trying to break into your bomb shelter.
Which leads me to the thing here. Have you seen the Preppers? Those
oh, yeah, the Prepper shows. I've seen those, yeah.
And how some will actually have, like, a whole circumference mapped out where they have, like, posts. Like gun posts already, so if people are coming, they're ready to like just
to gnaw them down. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. They've already prepared.
They've seen the Twilight Zone.
They've seen that one. Yeah, and then that, like kind of like I was telling my sisters, like, do you realize? Okay, instead of building a house for say $100,000, which honestly that's cheap for a house now, is $100,000.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of these places, like, especially, like, especially in this shitty neighborhood, like, the houses they're building out here is, like, 140. Yeah. So it's like, well, with the land, and then you'd probably get, like, a, you know, you could actually get a bomb shelter for $100,000. Like, instead of painting the house, you can just build yourself a bomb shelter and just live in there. Granted, you don't have a really great view, but you don't have to police paint the outside of the house.
Right.
And not to mention, if something like that does go down, you're prepared. Of course, granted... Being a single guy, I was like, man, dating is gonna be kind of hard. But he's like, oh, hey, I'm gonna take you back to my house, and I'm driving this woman to an abandoned field. Like, oh no, it's right here. And then they walk her out to wherever I have my porthole.
Spiral, staircase.
Like, no, this is where I actually live. Are you gonna kill me? Just let me call my parents and tell them I love them. Like, no, I'm not gonna kill you. We're just gonna go in my bunker. Like, no. Then, of course, granted, maybe do I tell them before?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Because then again, you don't want to tell them.
No,
because then you're going to have the Twilight Zone episode.
Then they're going to know, like, hey, by the way, we dated a few times. Can I go into... No! Then I get a
string of ex-girlfriends trying to
get into my bomb shelter. Yeah, that's why you got to have a tiny home set up.
Oh, and clearly they're going to be banging some guy that they're trying to bring in, too. So yeah. That's going to be awkward.
Oh, man, it's going to be... Hey! Oh, that is... Wow. That's
something we should write. Well, see, this is something that I was thinking of. It's like these guys went on the bomb shelter, and it's just three people, and, like... The wife's clearly distressed. She's like, oh, God, what's going to happen? And you look at the little boy, and you're just like... Dude, if it were going to happen, they do survive down there, like, he's going to grow up to see his parents die. Somehow he has to escape all the nuclear waste somehow. Like, it's just going to be just this weird, awkward life.
Yeah,
in my opinion. To mention, like, I don't want to live. Like, it's just I'm
not
with
to
my
mention
parents.
The fact that the reason the preppers prepare so well, they prepare the fact that if society does break down, like, the fact that even if he does survive the blast...
They're going to be there for years.
They're going to be there for years. And not to mention, they have to go out, they have to go hunt. Did you see any hunting rifles or anything like that down there? Like, I don't know how much food they brought. Hopefully, they brought enough food to last them. You know, and granted, they were filling up the water like, oh, we'll just fill up. Do you think that water is going to last them that long?
And do you think they're going to have nudie magazines for the kid when he goes through?
No, because the only person he's going to have to, though, the only other female is his mother. Yeah. You know, if he had a sister, he'd probably have some weird, flowers in the attic thing where he can't leave and he has to bang his sister kind of thing.
Yeah. That's not a good scenario to have.
No, but hopefully he could escape and he could maybe find a nice mutant up there. Maybe, you know.
He's going to have that boy in the bubble syndrome where he's like, I want to live. And as he gets out of the bubble, he lives. Yeah. Has the greatest day of his life and then dies.
Dies because he's torn apart by radioactive mutants.
Yeah.
Kind of like, actually, they've had that episode. Was it Blast from Past? Uh-huh. With Brendan Fraser. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
where they thought there's mutants out there. You know, and it turns out they...
Maybe something we should put down on that notepad right there.
Yeah, maybe make our post-apocalyptic movie, but...
we're going to have so many post-apocalyptic movies, because I'm deep in that genre, dude. I have a list of movies that we should watch.
Oh, I am down with that. Yeah.
So that's to come. I don't want us just stick on the noir stuff either. So
No,
we want to pick different stuff. That and the samurai stuff that you guys keep telling me about.
Oh yeah, like that's if you like noir, you're especially like that slow. That's kind of the worst and best part of the fact that slow build up.
Yeah.
But once you get to the build up, that's the when you have the giant fight.
Yeah.
But back to the post apocalyptic.
You were saying that there's movies a lot. Oh, by the way, I just bought Fallout.
Oh yeah.
The game. Do you have it? Have you played it?
No, I haven't. Because I don't kind of buy games anymore. Because I don't want to commit that much time to games.
Oh, me neither. But I just had to. Yeah. This one I had to. Only because like I watched this. It's funny. I bought it last weekend, and then I watched this episode, and I'm just like, oh man, think about the Fallout. And then I thought, oh, I just bought the game.
You could live it. You could live out the end of that episode.
Yeah.
But
you were saying that.
Yeah, they have a lot of movies about after the bomb drops.
Yeah.
You have your Mad Max.
Yeah,
you have your post-apocalyptic. Book of Eli. Where people were just the Savage Lands mutants. People like, they got the shakes because they've been eating human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't really a lot of movies before the bomb drops.
Yeah.
Like,
how everything went down.
Yeah, how everything went down. Like,
this one does a great job at it. No, if it would have happened.
If it were to happen, yeah. And the thing is, there's a lot of episodes of The Twilight Zone that actually deal with that. Like, this episode, there was an episode where, it was actually... spoiler alert, it was actually a different planet. Mm. Well, you didn't know that. You thought it was Earth. So they take the guy, his family, and another family. They take an experimental aircraft with a spaceship. And because they're saying that the enemy was going to bomb them. And turns out there's another planet, a suitable planet, on the other side of the solar system. And this vehicle, it's experimented, but honestly, they got to try. And they leave, and it goes like, yes, it's the other planet. It's a third rock of the sun. They call it Earth.
Yeah.
So they're going to land down there. What's the word? I saw the other one. Of course, this is after the bomb drops. It was Charles Bronson was the last man alive.
I saw that one, too.
And Elizabeth Montgomery was... she's fine. She's like the last Russian woman on Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, that was an awesome episode.
It was great.
Yeah.
And it's... a lot of these episodes... You know, because... I love TV right now. We're in a golden age of TV. It's good, a lot of really good stuff. But, you know, these are so classic where there's... It's slow-paced, but... I like how... It strings the story along, and it builds that suspense. Like, she's clutching that knife the whole time. And he's clearly, like, when she walks into him shaving, and he throws her the towel and everything, you're kind of thinking, okay, they're...
Yeah, and of course, granted, she starts washing her face, but she never takes her eyes off of him.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's still very suspicious.
Very suspicious. So you wonder, like, what's going to happen. And it's kind of funny, because towards the end, Rob Serling says... What you just witnessed was a love story in the Twilight Zone. And I'm just thinking, this is my love story. This is me and my wife.
But she, clearly she's Charles Bronson.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I was the one that shot my wife.
Yeah, at least tried to and you missed.
Yeah, missed. Go. Yeah, way to go, right? No, yeah. It's really true, yeah.
Actually, it reminds me of another episode of Twilight Zone where it was called Man in the Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that one, where basically post-apocalyptic, everyone, like, there's apparently, it's a town and they're starving. They found food, but they can't eat the food because they don't know it's radiated yet. So there's this one guy goes, he talks to a man in the mountain, the old man in the mountain, comes back and the guy says, no, destroy that food, it's radiated. There's going to be rain coming soon, it's also going to be radiated, so we have to make sure to cover up our water or whatever. And then Rooster Cogburn comes up, James Cogburn comes up, and he's big swinging dick, you know, like, hey, I'm in charge now, if you don't do what I say, you're going to hang from the whatever. So, you know, this is our territory now. And the guy's, well, I'd like to, but, you know, like, there's, you know, you don't know what's going on, and not to mention, like, we have our own leader kind of thing. And James Cogburn's like, you know what, you don't know what you're talking about. This old man in the mountain, he's just a myth. So anyway, there's, see all that food on there, you said it's rated, let's go eat the food, whatever, it's fit for a king. And the people are like, yeah, let's eat it, fuck yeah. So they eat all the food and they drink all the whiskey, even though the guy said it was contaminated. He forces them to go see the man of the mountain because he forced him to death, and turns out it's a supercomputer that's telling him all.
Yeah.
The, yeah. You saw that
episode,
right?
Yeah.
And of course, they destroy the supercomputer because they're destroying the old regime, basically. And of course, that morning, everybody dies because they ate the radiated food he told them to destroy. So there's only the one guy left. Do you kind of think of any bomb related ones?
I mean, most of them are post-apocalyptic, like The Last Librarian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was time now.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
I kind of see it as a post-apocalyptic because, you know, who's in charge? You got to think about that. And that's one of my favorites, too. I mean, going back to this one, it was kind of heavy on me. It was like, dang, like...
Because, honestly... It was completely plausible.
Yeah.
It actually could happen.
It hits home.
Yeah, it wasn't like usually the Twilight Zone, it would deal with some kind of magic, some kind of technological marvel, some demon, some, you know, deals with the devil, something kind of like outlandish.
Yeah.
That couldn't really happen.
Exactly.
But this is completely possible that's nothing outlandish happened. Maybe the fact that it's just something. Frightened enough people where they needed to get into this one place, this guy's bomb shelter.
Yeah.
And they acted exactly like animals. Of course, even the even more possibility that, oh, turns out nothing happened. Oh, hey! Oh, we're not gonna die. Sorry.
I like how it opens and everybody's in dinner, and what it makes you think is about your old friends. The people that you go and hang out with and have barbecues with. And... You know, if something did go down, what would go down, you know?
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about that already, but it's just made so well. The writing's so well. You have these guys that clearly are all really good friends, but when times are tough, it's like, what our human instincts are going to take over. And, I mean, you start questioning yourself. I think that's what, I always go back to that. That's good art, when you start thinking about the human condition and you start seeing your friends in a different light.
Like, are they really my friends, or have we just not decided to kill each other yet?
And also, what's this facade, if you think about it? Because mm-hmm. That's one of the main things. Like, you know, we bring this book up a couple times, The Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they talking about society, and I mean, there's a lot of levels in society if you start thinking about it. And if you have someone, if you're someone with power and money, a lot of the decisions that you make are going to be very different. If you understand decisions in regards to how do you retain your power, and let's just say if you're a son from a wealthy, prestigious family, how do you, you're going to start playing the game, I guess you could say. You're going to marry somebody to strengthen your power.
Yeah.
If you think about it. You know, Great Gatsby type shit.
Yeah. Actually, I heard a joke, a comedian, I can't remember what his name is, and I feel bad because I hate telling jokes, and I don't know this comedian, but he was talking about how his mother was paranoid. Like these billionaires, they have secret meetings, and they won't let us in. He's like, of course, they're not going to let you in. What are you going to get out of it?
What do you have to offer?
You have nothing to offer. That's like a homeless guy saying, these guys with homes and cars, they have meetings. And they won't let me in on it. Of course not. You have no idea what we're talking about. It's like letting a homeless guy go to a HOA meeting, and you don't even fucking live here. Of course you're not going to understand anything.
Yeah.
You know, these guys have all the money and the shoes. Just,
yeah.
And yeah. I was like, that is, for a joke, that is really, I don't even know the word for that joke. Like, just complete of...
I kind of feel Dustin would probably tell us who that was.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I heard that, and I was like, yeah, that's right.
It's true.
It is true. Because honestly, if billionaires were having meetings about power and stuff like that, they're playing with it. They've been playing a game I have no idea works.
Exactly.
You know, they have deals with, like, selling factories and companies and stuff like that, and I'm just a schmuck that just goes to my fat city job.
It's like a culture within a culture.
Yeah.
And you have inside jokes that only they will understand. Like, if it becomes one of those things where, okay, you get accepted for whatever reason, and then someone's, like, steering you along, oh, well, you can't do this because he's going to get offended. Kind of, it's like the same thing as if you were going to go to the Middle East. Like, oh, you mm-hmm. can't do this because you're going to offend them. Like, if you go to somebody's household, I don't know how your household is, but if I go to my mother-in-law's household, if I don't eat everything that's in my plate, it's because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of those little nuances where you're going to offend somebody, and all of a sudden the deal's going to be off. It's like, oh, yeah. What'd you do? I wore green pants on a Tuesday. Oh, no, that means is this.
We had kind of a little joke. A couple years ago, I won a membership to a cigar club. And basically, they had a big giant brandy sniffer, and they had a bunch of ribbons in there, like cigar collars or whatever. Their little paper collar on cigars.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, if you guess how many in there, and I got it right with, I say 888, and it was 886, mm-hmm. So I was right, kind of thing. And of course, it was real nice. You go in the back. Not everybody's allowed back there. You get your own locker to put, like, the cigars you've bought in. It's a giant walk-in humidor. They give you some of their vintage stock because, you know, people haven't bought it and they're just trying to get rid of it. But honestly, they're old cigars that they're good. And a friend of mine goes, like, what do you go in there? You go in there. Basically, it's a bunch of old dudes just hanging out trying to get away from their wives just drinking whiskey, basically. I described this to a friend of mine, like, what do? You go in there, you talk about the economy. And and like, yeah, that's exactly what we do, Nunez. Yeah, Nunez, I was talking about you. And he goes, like, yeah, that's right. We go and we smoke our cigars. Like, you know what makes me laugh? Poor people. And we start, you know, and that became a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
You cut your own grass. You know who cuts their own grass? Poor people. And you know, we would do like just mundane things. We take care of guests. You drive your own car. You know who drives their own car? Poor people. You know, and we would continue that. Yeah, just
yeah.
And of course, like, for us being plebeians, like, we're, you know, of course, that's funny. But honestly, that's some people's lives. So where
yeah,
they,
that's true.
Where I remember a story about how I want to say it was I want to say Eisenhower, but that's not Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. Eisenhower, the president.
Yeah.
And they said that he was trying to make a phone call and he didn't know how the phone worked.
Yeah.
But they're saying, well, he's been in such a position of power where he would have his secretary do it,
yeah.
And then he would transfer him, and then he'd pick it up and he would just talk.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't actually dial anybody. Someone else would do it and he'd pick it up for him. And he'd done that so long, he didn't know how the phone worked.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, for us, that is insane, not knowing how a phone works.
But, I mean, it's for him, it's obviously, it makes sense because he doesn't have to. He has other people to...
He never had to.
Yeah.
You kind of like when your mom, like, you know, she makes you dinner, And the fact that you have to make your own dinner and you have to, and then you fuck it up because, honestly, you don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
Granted, that's a poor, but honestly, that's the thing. If you,
it's a basic.
Yeah, that's super basic. That, but honestly, there are people who they're so in power that basic, I guess, needs are taken care of by somebody else. Nope. So, of course, they don't know how to do it. And like, honestly, if you're a rich guy, would you do laundry?
Well, you know.
And I'm talking about...
Nah, probably not.
Probably not. You would have somebody else take care of your laundry.
You'd have someone take care of anything that I don't want to do.
Exactly. You'd have somebody do your laundry. You'd have somebody take care of your car. You'd have, like... Like, honestly, if you had somebody just to... like, the dealership, like, they do basic maintenance. Like, oh, just have Rutherford go and go service the car.
And then you justify it by saying, well, I'm gainfully employing people.
I'm honestly, I make enough money where I could do that, obviously.
Yeah, I'm helping people.
You know, like...
She's off on the Sunday to go to church.
Yeah, yeah. Or the fact that, like, no, my time is far more spent, because I'm worth $100 million. Obviously, I can't be wasting my time going to the dealership. I'll just have Rutherford go...
Well, if you think about it, we're kind of doing it now anyways, even if we're poor people. I guess more, I mean, we're what, middle class, I guess?
I'd say lower middle class. We're not even middle class.
Yeah, like, we're lower middle class. Because, and I do this because I'm really busy, honestly, but I did the Shipt app.
Okay.
Where they go and they go pick up your stuff. And they, like, you take the app and you just put the food that you want, and they go get it and they bring it to your door at a certain time.
Oh, like, it's kind of like Amazon Patrick?
Yeah. Okay. It's just with HEB exclusively.
Okay, and that's cool. Okay, I'm not gonna lie, I did the same thing. What I do, I have a subscription with Amazon for my tea, because, like, for some reason, I can't buy tea in just regular tea bags, like, at Sam's, and not to mention, not a little bit of tea, I drink a lot of tea. So instead of actually going to like Sam's, they just had like the big bags of like quart tea, but I just want individual bags. So I decided to get it from Amazon, and it's every 3 months I just get a delivery of tea.
Yeah.
Or like some of my supplements, I just have it where every 3 months it just comes down on my supplements, because honestly I just don't want to, because I know which one I'm getting, I just want it delivered to me.
Exactly. And that's what everything is leading to.
Yeah.
So in a way we kind of do the same kind of thing.
Yeah, no, we do the same thing.
It's
but feasible, honestly,
but it's at a lower level, obviously.
Like, honestly, I'm not, go have the, Rutherford, go have the Mercedes service stuff.
And, speaking of English. I mean, me and my wife had talked about that kind of stuff, and we always feel bad. Because we always feel like even if we were to have the money to do that, yeah, we would think about it, obviously. But, you know, we feel like we would still try our best to do everything ourselves. Only because we're those prideful people that understand that these are things that keep us grounded. So even when I did this ship thing, we had talks about how ridiculous it is that we're doing this. It's like, you know what, this is ridiculous. Is it because we're truly, like, we're questioning each other? Like, is it because, well, she's questioning me because I was the one doing it. He's like, are you lazy? In a good way. Are you lazy or you physically just can't make it? And at that time, we just had a crazy week going with family and coming back. We went camping with you.
Yeah.
I went camping with you. So it was just like, it just makes sense.
Honestly, I would have to say the fact that, like, you were talking about working 12-hour shifts.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that you were just cool with that, working 12-hour shifts. I haven't gotten to that point yet. I will, though. Eventually.
I'm not cool, but I'm cool enough to accept it. I'll put it that way. Like,
but that's the thing about it, though. Like, well, we've gotten to the point where we're working so much, the fact that sometimes our... Like, I've had stuff to make a meatloaf in my refrigerator. I've had that for maybe 2 weeks now.
Oh.
So I'm kind of, now that I'm pointing, like, I don't know if I should take it because I think that stuff's gone bad already.
Yeah.
But that's, it's kind of thing is, like, all I've been doing is going to work, coming home, sleeping, getting up, going back to work, coming home, maybe taking care of, like, you know, my mom, doing, you know, something. And then I haven't actually had
a day for yourself.
2 hours to go to like, just the nice guys. The fact that, like, we were...
You had to cram that in.
I had to cram that in right before we were watching it, because, like, I decided, like, oh, I gotta go I got to take care of this.
And I gave you a month in advance.
You gave me a month in advance to watch.
So you have to understand how busy your life has been.
But that's the thing about it. I think the fact that, like, automation, granted, like, we, it's, and, but I'm talking about, like, doing, like, if it is, like, a, like, kind of any automation that, the fact that we're so opulent that we'd actually pay somebody. Because, honestly, if I could, I would, like, for a while, I had somebody just mowing my lawn. I paid $40 to the guy. That's why it's so long now. I turned that guy away because the fact that I was going to do it today in the morning, but I decided to sleep in to 8 o'clock. Yeah. Isn't that disgusting? My sleep in time, like, oh, I've slept enough, is 8 o'clock now.
You're becoming an old man.
I know.
I slept until 9 today.
Oh, you slacker, you know? So I'm going to try to do it tomorrow, try to cut the grass. Not to mention the fact that I'm broke. I only have, like, $300 till the end of, you know, till next Friday, and that's, like 7 days away.
Well, the reason I brought this up was because, you know, we were talking about this highbrow type society, whether these things, they're playing the game, so to speak. So if you think about it, this guy's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He's well off.
Yeah, he's well off.
So these other guys have to be somewhere in that bracket also.
I want to say, I mean, maybe even less. Maybe instead of doctors, he might be just the family doctor, like a general position. He probably makes good enough money, but the thing is they only have one kid, though, so probably they're not spending that much. But maybe, like, the fact that the rest of those people had a bunch of children. They had 4 or 5 children, a pop.
Oh, maybe he was, you're right, like the family doctor. Like, he oversaw him. Oh, yeah. Dude, that even brings it up even at a deeper level, if you think about it. If he was this guy that brought life into the world, and these people that he helped bring life into.
Yeah, and they were totally willing to pull him out of that shelter that he built and just leave him out to the wolves. Even though, granted, they did... that's also another thing, the fact that none of them were smart enough to think about, hey, if we break this door down to this bomb shelter, is it going to ruin it? Because, honestly, you saw how they tore into that door, and they're about to pull that family out. Like,
what would they do afterwards?
Yeah, the door's destroyed. They can't just bend it back in there. That thing has a form of seal to keep out the radiation.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what I was thinking. You next time, old man, you need to build a better door to keep them out.
Yeah.
Or maybe a booby trap. Well, of course, granted, it'd be terrible that your friends got killed by a booby trap, but like the fact that they broke into your place relatively easy and they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
That was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because they're going to pull them out and they're going to kill his family. They're going to kill each other to see who's going to be the last to get in that tin box.
I think the worst thing about everything was that, you know, there had to be some sort of hidden agendas behind everybody, if you think about it. Like, you could make this like a season where everybody has, you know, their lives and they all kind of...
Oh, man, you do like... Oh, that's good. That's, I like that. Like, it's one single event. And then, like, it's a different perspective
of each
family,
yeah,
just right up to this event. And then the whole them breaking in and killing his family. And then, of course, maybe even make it darker, the fact the bomb actually does drop and then nobody survives.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's what happened. Like, the bomb actually did drop, even though they broke in.
Because that would have happened, yeah.
Yeah, no one would have survived. Like, because radiation would leak through that door.
Yeah.
And no one would have survived it because the fact that they fucked it up. Yeah.
Exactly. But my train of thought is, if you do that, what would have happened? Like, what's their agendas? Like, why are they friends? Are they really genuinely friends? Because obviously now he saw their primitive instincts. You know, now I think that's the saddest part of the whole episode, is that people he thought were friends, obviously, he's just, they've broken his spirits and everything.
That's what he said at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Even though the bomb didn't drop, what was really destroyed tonight?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and that's what breaks into it. The fact that, like, it doesn't matter if the bomb actually dropped or not. None of them could trust each other.
Yeah.
And the fact that the first thing I thought is, like, well, they destroyed the door. I need a better door to keep them out. So, they, you know, when the bomb does drop, they'll die instead of me.
Yeah.
And, of course, granted, maybe you shouldn't have told. Like I said, we were talking about maybe you should. Of course, granted, it's hard to keep something like that on the wraps. Especially building a bomb shelter in your backyard.
Yeah, well, like you were saying, going dating and stuff like that. How do you do that without telling people, like, hey, so I got a bomb shelter.
I got a bomb shelter, and then, of course, a bunch of people. And actually, it happened to a friend of mine, where he has a ranch somewhere place out there. And I think during the Y2K, a friend of his actually went to the ranch, and he was going to set it up there just to ride it out, just to, like, dummy, you know? Which I'm glad Y2K didn't happen, but imagine, yeah. Like, it's like, they, I don't know, I thought it was very funny, the fact that he's going to, you know, ride it out in the ranch. But, yeah, but that was probably the most thing that was destroyed. It wasn't their houses, it was the fact that it was their faith in society that was destroyed.
This whole idea of what your life used to be, just done.
Because honestly, do you think you could trust any of those people that were just about to tear you out of your bomb shelter, you know?
No, I'd just get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you need to do. Which leads us to really think about if... Because I started thinking about it, I was like, man, if something like that were to happen, especially with right now, with the recent news that had happened, like, I'm not prepared for that.
No.
At all. I know that I have friends and family that actually are mounting little by little and getting everything going, but I don't know.
Honestly, like right now, I have a pistol. I have a rifle. You know, I don't have that much ammo for it. You know, but honestly, but if like, say, if it is gonna drop tonight, I don't have any food to survive. I don't even like. Even if what if this place doesn't like, say if they did bop and you know this whole place was leveled, I'd probably be destroyed right along with the house. You know. So it's basically if you haven't bought land, built a shelter, stockpiled food, you're kind of on your own. Like I remember like on that prepper show when we were talking about, this lady bought an apartment and she had food and water, but she didn't have a pistol to defend herself, and she just lived in an apartment. So it's just like, why bother stockpiling all this food when someone's just gonna break in, take your shit, and there's nothing you could do about it?
It's gonna be like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, someone. someone, you know, of course, granted, that'd be kind of cool if they, I don't know, like, I haven't played Fallout, but if they actually made a GTA,
Fallout style.
Fallout style, where it's just, we're just going around robbing people for their supplies.
I haven't played it, but I'm really interested in, because I hear a lot of, I love post-apocalyptic movies.
Yeah.
I just love them. Like, I know Escape from L.A. is not really post-apocalyptic, but it's kind of like on the verge.
Of course, like I said, L.A. is like an island now, and that's where they put all the criminals. Of course, Mad Max. Of course, it's kind of funny that we're talking about Mad Max. Have you seen the new Mad Max, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. The fact that that's as implausible as it seems, that's, like I said, that's probably the most famous post-apocalyptic series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that'd be really possible. Like, not to mention the fact that I don't know how to fix cars and shit like that. Like, if all the cars are fucked up, I guess I'm just walking. I'm just going to...
You and if you had a dog, it'd be just circling around you.
Yeah, basically that's all you could do. Not to mention the fact that like we're pretty close to the base. Mm-hmm. So honestly, if something does go down,
martial law.
Yeah, martial law. Maybe try to get on the base if they don't try to kill me, you know. But of course we're, I don't know. I thought like maybe like if I did decide to buy a home, he should probably be outside the city.
Yeah, that's what my feeling is too. Yeah. My dream is to not even have a big home, just have a really like a small house and have a lot of land. But I really want to, I told you this before while we were camping, like I really want to learn how to survive, because I do not feel equipped for any of this to happen. I think the problem with the city is that we're so accustomed to packaging, you know? It's easy to go to HEB and get chicken already cut up for you and filleted, you know? And when I go to Mexico, the butcher's right there in front of you just killing the thing. And I don't know, as a kid, I always liked that thing. Like, I knew where it came from.
Yeah.
But I just never had to do it. And that's just the difference. I think the difference is if, because I, you know, we always talk about going to Mexico, and with over there is a more simple life, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And you kind of saw how they lived. Like, my grandma, I remember when I was a kid, for her kitchen was a hut. Like, it was a hut.
Yeah.
And made of makeshift stuff because they didn't have enough money to build a kitchen.
Yeah.
So they made it out of makeshift stuff. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and they thought it was embarrassing. You know, it's funny how the how that perspective works. But
I used to have an ex-girlfriend that her dad built a man cave, right? And he made it very rustic-looking, like the top of the roof had like corrugated tin.
Yeah, just like that. Roofing kind
of
thing.
Yeah, and I was like, that kind of reminds me of my grandpa's house, but they had to, that's all the shit they found to build their own house kind of things. You know, they it's not something they did to look cool. It's just that was available.
Exactly.
You know, if they found something, they turned it into something kind of thing.
Right.
For a while, their toilet was just like a cement block.
Yeah.
It was just a hole. It was just a cesspool kind of thing.
Yeah. I remember taking showers and they're like, oh, let me heat the water for you.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about that, which I kick myself saying it right now, is that I kind of enjoyed those baths instead of like, because when you're in the shower, you living in the city, everything's just like you're in a rush. You're just like, let's go, 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 go. When you're in that setting, you can take your time. You know what I mean? Even if it's just a pail of water, you actually get cleaner better if you think about it, because you're going through everything, making sure you get everything instead of the shower. You're just thinking, oh,
just like, because that kind of bugs me. Like if I'm in the shower, especially if I'm rushing, and then I jump out and I realize I still have soap on me.
Yeah,
yeah. That's that. Of course, granted, I guess you really can't do that. You have to gotta do the Navy shower.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, I used to do that. I used to, you know, turn the shower on, get wet, turn it off, and then, you know, lather and everything. And
but that's not because you had, that's not because you wanted to. It's just the fact that you had to because you're saving water. You
know,
that's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was being respectful of my parents, and now I don't care. I'm like, oh, I'll pay for this thing. I'll just sit there and I'll just like close my eyes and just, Lily would, I mean, I'll get a knock and, what are you still doing there?
And you're like, I'm washing my hair.
Yeah, exactly. But I kind of feel that, I mean, going back to getting the farm and doing something like that, it kind of makes you appreciate everything that, and we talked about this, makes you appreciate everything that you're consuming and eating. And I think we're losing a lot of that. We're just so used to going to these restaurants, gives you, especially here in the United States, you're getting big plate full of stuff. And me and my wife are just like, we can split this and have leftovers. Like, that's how ridiculous it is now, the portions. I just feel we need to be more conscious about, you know, the intake.
Like, there was, I was watching a show, or no, was it a show or was it something on Reddit? Where the guy, he had a house built in the 40s and he had to redo the cabinets because none of his dinner plates actually fit in his cabinets. Because they were too big. So apparently the dishes back in the 40s, they were kind of like, they were smaller. They didn't have the 12-inch platters that we have now.
Ridiculous.
They're smaller plates.
Yeah.
But now the fact that, like, from the 40s to now we've gotten to, like, plates. If it's not a giant fucking plate, that's just not a plate. That's, yeah, like,
who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? Which goes back to what we were saying. We're talking about societies, and I guess that's a way to show who you are. Oh, look, this is my little dinner party. These are my plates. Look at me. And I'm just like all over that, you know, which I kind of like this episode because it kind of paints a picture of that. This society, I guess, and how they portray themselves, you know, and who they want to have people lead them to believe who they are.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because with the racist comment,
oh yeah, that's they went racist real quick. And basically, like, I just thought that, oh, there's just a bunch of white people having dinner. But they're like, no, you and you semi-Americans, because I think the guy was Italian or something like that. I'm like, wow, that dude just didn't throw any punches and went right for the Guido.
What told me is that they've been friendly this whole time and he's okay with it, and he's going to appear to you to be okay with all this stuff, which is kind of a lot of the PC stuff that's going on right now. Is a lot of people are saying, you know what, I'm okay with the gays, and I'm okay with...
Are they really okay with the... You know, that's... Because, like, there's, like... Like, oh, if you have to say, I'm okay with the gays, no, you're not... If you're just like, I don't care, that's... If they want... If Chad and Brad want to go have adopt a couple kids, that doesn't affect me. That's okay. That's...
Yeah.
It's...
If you have to say it out loud...
It's none of my business, really. You know, that's... They're adults. They can do whatever they want. You know, that's, of course, but they're like, I'm okay with the gays. It's You're just seeming on the outside you're okay with it.
Yeah.
People don't think... You don't want people to think you're a bigot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of what reminded me of that scene, is that...
You semi-American. I think that's what he said. He called him a semi-American because he might have been just naturalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Kind of goes to show what is society, and what is real and what isn't real. Like, you know, when you see these press conferences with these companies saying, oh, you know, we don't discriminate against this, or a certain political figure or person who tries to appear that he's so okay with whatever it is, like black people or agenda, Black Lives Matter or something. Like, what I'm trying to say is they're almost like overdoing it, to the point where, like, it is racist. What they're doing is actually racist. Like, you have this real liberal person that's overcompensating for, you know, the other racist people, you know? The guy that says, oh, you know, I have plenty of black friends. You know, like, they're overdoing it a bit. It's kind of like, you kind of cringe. Because they're kind of...
What's going on, my sister?
Yeah.
You've never called anybody your sister, ever.
Yeah. And you can tell, like, they're not okay with it, but they're trying to make you... They want you to believe that you are. Like, that's kind of what I feel a lot of times is going on. And with this little dinner party, boom, as soon as society breaks down, boom, here comes all the crazies. Which, just like Donald Trump, when he became president, what started happening? All these white supremacists started popping out.
Did you read the news today? Like, about the fact that they had a riot with the white supremacists in, like, I want to say Louisville? Yeah, that was, like, today. That's funny that you mentioned that, because, yeah, that happened, like, you got a thing from the New York Times saying that's, like, I was like, holy shit, yeah, breaking news, white nationalists and neo-Nazis faced off in counterparticters in Charlottesville, Virginia. And they actually declared a state of emergency.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's...
Which, I was telling you off the podcast, that I went from living in California...
Yeah.
...to Virginia. So that kind of speaks volumes on that little anecdote. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
It's the type of world we live in now, yeah.
And...
If you told me that, like, a year ago, I'd have told you you were, like, fucking nuts. That's like, get the fuck out of here. I think I'm getting going.
So, brings me to my next point. Who would you rather be in that dinner party? Or, let me say, who do you want your friends to be, actually, rather? Do you want your friends to be this outspoken person that's going to speak their mind, or this person that's going to sugarcoat everything and tell you what you want to hear?
I'm not going to lie. I'm the person that sugarcoats kind of thing. But it's not because I'm going to lie to you. But honestly, the way I believe it, like, honesty is a commodity. I don't give it to everybody. Because honestly, like, that's that thing. If you're too honest, this guy's a jerk. So, like, basically, the only reason I'm telling you the truth is because of the fact that I like you. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell everyone else the bullshit because of the fact that it really doesn't matter what they think or not. I just want the most positive perception of me. But on the new friends, my friends are going to be, you know, the person who really understands what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, as much as I want to be the doctor, unfortunately, the doctor... As much as he's the forethought of the plan, he didn't understand who his friends were. Because the fact that if he knew who his friends were, he would have built that door better. But he didn't. He didn't.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I was. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was leading to. Because, you know, as we get older, and we start realizing the people that we hang out with, you start realizing who are the people that are going to be there, who are the people that are not. And as soon as I figured that out really quickly, I started realizing that, to me personally, I have little time, little patience for people that are gonna make life stressful.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, difficult.
Because there's so little time in today's world, in your life, that spending it with someone that's just gonna make it miserable or someone that's gonna complicate things, it's not worth it.
No. I've often tell people that, like, yeah, that person, I would not be friends with that person. That person's way too, their emotional baggage is that I'm not gonna deal with that. That's already, like, already hassle of them. I had a friend who was telling me, like, oh yeah, I have this friend and she's just a lot of problems. Like, why are you friends with that person? That person's just not really worth your time and effort. Like, I work with them, but yeah, I probably wouldn't.
It's a work friend.
I probably wouldn't associate with them outside of work. Exactly. That person's.
And then that's the difference between when you're young, when you're in high school, it's kind of everything kind of goes and you're just figuring stuff out. But as you grow older, you realize what's worth it and what's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and this episode brings it up because, you know, you start thinking, okay, maybe the doctor does bring these people over because they bring them income.
Well, no, honestly, they're his neighbors.
They're his neighbors,
they're
yeah.
friendly. They probably, on the weekends, they go and they drink beer in their garages. If they need, like, a fence, like, hey, I'm building a fence. Oh, sure, why not? Blah, blah, ha, ha. You don't really know how friendly they are. They may be really good friends.
Yeah.
But the only problem is when the shit hit the fan, they decide to turn each other.
True. But here's my point. In society, if you're a doctor, you really have to grow your business. You have to have friends. Like, back in the day, you would have these parties. You would have these get-togethers to kind of spread the word, so to speak, you know, because it's a practice. I mean, whatever it is that it is. And I mean, it might be his neighbors too, but if you think about it, that's just the beginning, because what's going to happen in a society, they're going to go home and he's going to be a friendly guy and these guys are going to really like him and they're going to say, you know, if so and so is sick, oh, I know a doctor, he's my friend, he's my neighbor.
Yeah.
So it's all part of this society where it benefits him to be friendly. It benefits them to have this network, and that's with anything that you really do, if you think about it.
Of course, I would probably say the opposite, the fact that they might be really, because honestly, if he was trying to be friendly, like, oh, I'm just being friendly just for their,
well, not just because of that, but it's part of it.
Okay, because I'm saying if he was going to do that, he could have just not lived in their neighborhood at all.
True.
And he'd just been like, oh, I'm friendly, but I'm not living near any of these people,
yeah,
because they're swine, but I gotta be friendly to them, kind of thing. And of course, well, he probably wouldn't have had the problem of them breaking into his, his bomb shelter, because he would have just lived out in the country. And sure, he probably takes a long commute to work, and he's friendly to people, but honestly, nobody knows about his bomb
shelter. Yeah, so why is he living in the community, too?
Yeah.
So, that's another thing.
Like I said, he's probably planning to turn that into a rec room, or hide his porn collection, but honestly, he had to really justify it to make it, like, which would be funny that he wasn't expecting this to be an actual war, but, you know, he bought a kit, he built it, and and then he's I'm just gonna turn that into my man cave if shit doesn't work out, and then, oh shit, and of course, maybe there's packages where, like, you know what, I guess the minimum package is 3 people, which I guess that's okay. It's fine.
Oh, I see. So he's just going with the motions, just little by little.
Yeah, he didn't really manage to build a bomb shelter just because he thought, like, he was just trying to haphazardly happen. Yeah, he was just trying to build that to get away from his wife, because he doesn't have, because he goes in the garage, she goes in there anyway, and I don't,
yeah.
Just let me be, you know what, I'll build a bomb shelter, and I'll go in there. Oh, sorry, honey, I can't, like,
And then when it really goes down, he's like, oh, shoot, I do
fuck.
Have.
Like, he's just like, hey, yeah, like, and you know what, honestly, I only built it for three people. I don't want those assholes going here. Because yeah. There was packages for the for 15-20, but they were a lot. And fuck those guys. So I'm just going to build it for me, my wife, and my boy. And, you know what? I'll just cheap out on the... Oh, yeah, that's right. The doors were better. They made better quality doors. He just didn't want to because he was being cheap. And he was just, that's all right. They're not going to...
And then when it actually happens, it's just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, he was just cursing himself and buying that cheap door and not buying the...
What he's thinking in the close-up. He's like,
oh, fuck.
Oh, should have paid.
I should have paid that extra $100 for that door, but no, fucked up.
I
would like that episode of it. Just, he happens to have something, but he really didn't mean to buy it.
He didn't go all the way.
Yeah, he just didn't do a leg of the way. He was just kind of like, I just want a place where I could look at my Asian porn. And I don't want the wife, you know, that door, it's really just, like, soundproofing, because I want it loud.
Sad excuse just to jerk it off.
You know, because I can't do it in the garage. That boy's going to come in new. I gotta make sure that door locks, you know?
And then when it's there, it's all freaking awkward, like, cum stains on the wall and shit. Oh, dad. And that's why the wife starts crying, because she figures out,
My God, this is your porn dungeon.
He goes like, oh, yeah, I forgot that one tool, kid. Go get it.
Yeah, and it's a stash. That's what it was.
Yeah
that's
exactly.
Basically what it was. I can't. That's...
What better way to end it on that, really? Great series, great episode, but, you know, it all leads to human primal instincts, mm-hmm. which was... Get his nut off.
And one man trying to find solitude because a goddamn woman keeps trying to get into the garage.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go. So,
all right, like I said, post-apocalyptic, you know, so, all right, just go.
We need to do a post-apocalyptic movie now, so.
Yeah, so we did all the pre-apocalyptic movies, now we do the post-apocalyptic.
So we'll just have to see which one it would be. I want to pick something from, like, the 70s or something.
Well, Mad Max, obviously. Well, like, the Road Warrior. Of course, granted, those are the most common.
Something that's not as common. Something a little bit obscure.
I don't know, maybe...
I have it. I'll show you after this. Okay. But for you guys, look out for Chinatown and a post-apocalyptic movies. Let us know what you think about Twilight Zone episodes. Any of them that you want us to talk about. Or not.
Yeah, because we... Honestly, I'd love Twilight Zone episodes, so we just talk about that shit all day, so...
But the idea for this podcast is to take these great classic movies, television shows, and kind of riff on it and how they pertain to today's times.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are a lot of movies out there, they're going under the radar, and a lot of people are not paying attention. They're just into this craze of superheroes, which I'm kind of over it myself.
No, you're...
And people damn crazy, because I'm looking back, there's a lot of classic films that we need to talk about, and we need to bring it back to the forefront.
Yeah.
And we're leading the charge, man.
You know what, I want to do one where we just talk about Clash of the Titans and the new Clash of the Titans,
because
I hate the new Clash of the Titans, and I can't find anybody to bitch about it.
Let's do it.
All right,
let's
cool.
do it. Clash of Titans coming in this season. Might be, we can make it our last episode. I think we have, let's see, we have two.
As long as I don't have to watch the new one again, I just, like I remember, I saw it the first time, it's fine.
I'll watch it by myself. So, be lookout for the Noir episode, post-apocalyptic, and Clash of Titans. That covers our five movies for this season.
Cool, alright.
Alright.
Alright, thanks, and y'all have a good night, I guess.
The reason we have a sad guitar in the background of this episode is because we're in a bomb shelter, okay? Give us a break.